Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For Lent, I wanted us to look at the challenges that might affect us as the people of faith. It seems to me that the period of Lent is a time of prayer and a time to be thoughtfully reflective of the way the Christian faith helps to shape us, especially at times when maybe we resist being shaped. So the challenges of life seemed like a good topic to explore during these weeks. So last week, week one, the first week of Lent, we looked at the challenge of temptation, a challenge we all face at one time or another, and as I said last week, it isn't all about chocolate. Of course, you knew that already. But for today, I wanted to look at the challenge of fear. Tim has already looked at it, so we can all go home now. But when I picked this topic, the challenge of fear, I did not know that we would be hearing about a horrible mass shooting in New Zealand. 49 people shot dead in two mosques, 20 more injured. A whole country shocked, the world once again stunned, people of a particular religious faith broken by grief. There is a prayer vigil in one of the mosques in Tampa this afternoon from 2 to 4. I plan to go to that. It seems to me there should be a Presbyterian presence. I've heard of stories of mosques and Jewish temples being surrounded by Christians, protecting them from any harm that might come in the community, just kind of linking arms and facing out and saying, if you want to hurt our brothers and sisters of this faith, you would have to hurt us first. That's courage. So when I picked this topic, I didn't know about this mass shooting in New Zealand, nor did I know that we would be seeing images of colossal, devastating flooding in the Midwest, in Nebraska, and places near there. Roads and bridges washed out, towns, whole towns underwater, people having to flee their homes with little warning, leaving behind pets and livestock because there wasn't time to get to them. What a heartbreak. I had been thinking, you see, about the fears that the children could articulate so well, the fears we experience every day, fear of heights, maybe that's one of my big ones, or fear of flying or darkness or fear of driving over bridges. Have you ever seen anybody drive over the bridge with their eyes shut? That would be something to fear, wouldn't it? Oh, gee. I have a friend whose fear astonishes me and makes me sad because she is afraid of water, and she is afraid of water in creeks and lakes and swimming pools. No cruises for her, right? But to walk across the footbridge over a small pond is terror for her. Our dog is afraid of thunder and lightning. Well, that's not unusual, but I woke up with him lying beside my bed just yesterday morning. We had not expected a rainstorm, but there he was, and sure enough, the clocks had been flickered off. There are everyday fears aplenty out there, but there are bigger and deeper fears for us to deal with. That we or our loved ones will be hurt by accident or by violence, that financial disasters will affect our ability to provide for our families or our church or our future, that a serious health issue will strike near us, cancer, a stroke, surgery. There is so much that we can fear because there is so much that we cannot control, and it brings us to fear. So I bet by now I have us all depressed. imagining all the fears that can surround and affect us. But no, I haven't even made a dent in the listing of all those fears. I forgot about the spiders and the snakes that Tim's kids were talking about. Our kids were talking about. I know how much fear there is around us and within us and affecting us. The texts that we read this morning give us some rather specific examples of fear in the Bible. Abraham has been promised a legacy and inheritance, but he has no heir except a boy slave working in his household, not a son, not a child of his own. There is no one in his bloodline to pass the inheritance to, so what would be the point? You can imagine what Abraham is thinking and feeling. So Abraham isn't sure how to interpret and trust God's word of promise, or how to do his own part in carrying out the covenant, in being faithful as a believer. Sometimes God's word just seems preposterous. How can we believe it? And there's some fear in that, I think, in not being able to trust the Lord God, in basing your life on what seems to be an empty dream or an empty promise. What's it all about anyway? Abraham must have felt that he was living an empty life and was the laughingstock of his people, and that was tough. And yet God continued to come to Abraham and assure him, I meant what I said, my promise is real. And Abraham learned to trust. But the gospel reading in Luke gives us an even harsher story in a way. Because in fact, we find out it comes true. Jesus has warned, you see, about Herod. It's ironic to me that the warning comes from people who normally oppose Jesus. The Pharisees are the ones who come and say to him, get away from here because Herod wants to kill you. Well, I might take that seriously and go somewhere. Get away from here. But Jesus replies, you go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I'll finish my work. In other words, Jesus plans to do his usual thing no matter what. We know that his face is set to go to Jerusalem. He is determined to finish his ministry, his teaching and his healing and the miracles, and he will go to the place of his betrayal, his arrest, his trial and death, to Jerusalem, where prophets are killed. Jesus knows. And there is, in fact, something to fear when you've been warned that the powers that be are out to kill you. Betrayal, arrest, trial, and death. That's what Jesus will face. And he has been warned. But listen to the determination, the resignation, even the acceptance we find in Jesus when he says, yet today and tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often, Jesus says, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you were not willing. And I tell you, Jesus says, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. All this foreshadowing of what will happen when Jesus comes to Jerusalem. So Jesus is warned to beware of Herod, to hold a healthy fear and avoid the consequences. But instead of running away, Jesus steadfastly continues on his way in his ministry with the message that he has come to tell. History tells us of Martin Luther, who in the time of the Reformation had to defend himself before the princes of the Roman Catholic Church. Threatened with dire consequences if he stood against the church, he nonetheless declared, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of Scripture or by clear reason, for I don't trust the Pope or the councils alone, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God." According to tradition, Luther is said to declare, to have declared, "Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen." He had plenty of reason to fear, yet he stood firm. But what of us? What of us? It's tough enough to be afraid of heights or flying or of water or of thunder or of spiders. But the deeper fears have to do with injury to ourselves or to those we love, or of global issues. Things we cannot do anything about: hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, shooters in public places. How do we defend against those things? So here are a few suggestions. First and foremost, remember to trust the Lord your God, as did Abraham, as did Jesus himself. What do the angels always say? They say, angels, what do they say? Fear not, do not be afraid. Exactly. Angels knew that people were afraid whenever an angel showed up. Rightly so. When an angel shows up, someone is about to be sent somewhere they don't want to go. Right? That's what happens. But the first thing an angel says is, "Fear not, do not be afraid." Fear not. The truth is, if God sends us, we will not be going alone. God will go with us. God will go with us. God will always be with us. When we fear, remember, God is with you. Second, hold on to some scriptures. You need to memorize them or write them down. Keep them on your refrigerator. Keep them where you can find them. Here are a whole bunch of them. Psalm 46, 1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Psalm 46, 1-3. Psalm 42, 9-11. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because my enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Psalm 112, verse 7. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Psalm 27, 1. We could probably sing this one. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Of whom should I be afraid? Isaiah 12, 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Isaiah 41, 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And the passage that Scott read for us today in Genesis begins with those words. After these things, the word of God came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. God protects us. God rewards us. God takes care of us, provides for us. God gives us all we need. Hold on to some of those scriptures. Keep them at hand. I told you all last week about the books I'm reading, the Poldark books. There are 12 of them. I'm now in book 7. Last night I was reading about down in the mines, they punctured through a wall where there was water on the other side, and so the mines began to flood. So words, they started screaming and yelling, and all the miners down in those lower areas had to scramble to get up. And one of them was a Methodist preacher. People found him kind of offensive because he was always talking about Jesus. He's running to get out of this flooding mine, and he's calling out these words: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" He's having to swim his way out of a flooded mine. "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" If God sends us, we will not be going alone. God will go with us. And the best reason not to fear is that God is with us. We are not alone. I have a book called Feel the Fear, But Do It Anyway. If you're afraid of a zip line, let yourself know you're afraid. You decide, will I do this or not? If you're going to do it, do it. Do it boldly, and do it knowing God is with you. Be safe. I used to let my children climb trees. I figured I'd rather them climb carefully than think they had to be sneaky about it, and then they would fall. God is with us. We are not alone. One of my very favorite statements of faith ends this way: in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we know that life carries risk and that there are reasons for fear, sometimes very real reasons. But remind us that you are with us. You are the stronghold of our life. And your reward is great. In times of testing, in times of fear, help us to grow in faith, to grow in trust, to grow in our knowledge of you. In Christ we pray. Amen.